everybody, and welcome to episode 29 of the Shine Sparkers podcast. My name's Amanda, and I'm here joined by Roy, and we also have an awesome guest here. He's one of our header artists, and he knows all the ins and outs of Metroid.
Okay, thank you. So I'm Torvis. In my free time, I speedrun a lot, and I also make art whenever I can. And I was fortunate enough to join this team as a header artist, which I have loved every single second.
He makes some incredible headers. We did a community spotlight for him before he joined the team, and he made his own header. And yeah, we were blown away with it.
It was pretty cool. Yeah.
All right, so March 19th, just for the record, we are recording a little before that, marks 30 years since Super Metroid was released on the Super NES. The game still holds up today, and it's so much fun. And so we're going to talk about some of our favorite memories of playing Super Metroid for the first time and how it's held on over the years. So Roy, why don't you kick us off?
Sure. Super Metroid was the first Metroid game that I ever played. I had a copy of Brawl on Wii, and it had those 3-minute masterpiece demos, so I played it for the first time that way. I liked it enough that I saved up and bought it on Virtual Console. You had to save up Wii points back then instead of actually paying for the games. I played through it. It took me a long time to finish it because I was new to the genre, but I loved the atmosphere, I loved the boss battles, and how satisfying it was when you finally defeated the boss, particularly Ridley, who is quite challenging if you're new to the game, and even still afterwards. After all, he is Samus's arch nemesis. So yeah, Super Metroid, I have a lot of fond memories with it. When it came to Switch Online, I played it with Darren. You can do co-op, almost, where you switch control back and forth between players. So we did that together right around when it came to Switch Online. And yeah, I go back to it from time to time, and I still love it. It still holds up 30 years later, absolutely. And if you haven't ever played it before, why not? You're missing out. Go download Switch Online now and play it. You have to. It's just incredible.
So the first time I played Super Metroid, it was a few years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was that I played it. I want to say it had to have been pre-COVID. It's been a long time since I've played it. And since it's like the last 4 years have just kind of run together. I don't know when anything took place in these past 4 years. But anyways, I played it on the Wii U Virtual Console, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was really cool. I loved getting to hear all the music and stuff, especially some of it being music that I recognized from Smash Brothers the first time I ever heard it. And then hearing the Super NES version of it was really neat. There were so many instances while I was playing it that I just ended up screaming many times, especially towards the very end where little baby Metroid comes along and I had no idea what was happening. And I just started screaming, and it was really cute, but at the same time, really funny. So was I good at Super Metroid? Not particularly. I had a hard time with some of the space physics because, you know, you're playing a Super NES game where the physics are slightly different than the typical platformer that we would be playing today. But, like, once I got a hang of it, I was good, and I did successfully beat the game. I think the worst part, though, was the, you know, after you beat the boss and you have to go through and run through the area to get to the ship and all that. And I barely made it in time because I have zero sense of direction, so I get lost really easily. And so, like, I made it with, like, 1 second to spare. I think if I had to do the boss battle again, I would have cried.
Was this Ridley or Mother Brain?
This was Mother Brain.
Yeah, that one can be very intense.
Yeah, Ridley was, like, not all that big of a deal, but Mother Brain was the one that was just like, okay, I know I struggled with it some, but you know what? That's all right. It was part of the fun. As honestly, what I like about Metroid is how you can see your progress as you keep going, because a lot of it is just recognizing some of the patterns. And so, like, you know, what you first die in immediately, then after a few tries, then it just becomes really easy for you. So that's, I just like being able to see the progress like that.
Yeah. It's challenging, but it's not unforgiving.
Exactly, exactly.
How about you, Torvis?
So my first entry to the Metroid franchise was through Super Metroid's sequel, Fusion. And after playing through Fusion, I naturally was interested in the series generally. So I looked up on YouTube and I quickly found about Super Metroid. Since then, I watched a lot of speedruns and I got super fascinated into that kind of playstyle. But it took a lot of time until I first tried the Super Metroid myself, actually. So from Fusion onwards, I moved to Prime Hunters and then Prime 3, because those were readily available for the systems that I had. It took until the Wii U Virtual Console for me to actually play Super Metroid myself. And I remember having a really weird route because I was aware of basically every single block of this game because of my knowledge from speedruns and whatnot. So I actually skipped Spore Spawn in my first playthrough because I knew about the Mach Ball and I really wanted to learn that trick. It's surprisingly simple, but it's really hard to learn, I guess, because it depends on your timing to morph.
Yeah, I've never been able to do it.
Once you learn the timing, it gets pretty easy. I can do it whenever I want. And it's really fun to do too. I do it whenever it's even not necessary. But yeah, basically, I went through the game by using a lot of tricks that I otherwise wouldn't have known. So not only did I do the Mach Ball, but I also learned how to wall jump pretty quickly. After all, it was possible to do Infusion and Zero Mission, so I already had learned about the trick. But the timing is different in Super, in that you don't press jump as you change your direction. You actually change your direction and wait a little bit, and then you press jump. But anyway, after getting Super Missiles and skipping Spore Spawn, I wanted to try to get up the Red Tower, but that it was actually too hard for me. So I remember just going down to Kraid and beating him first. It was like a small defeat for me, but it's actually a really difficult trick to get up there without Ice Beam. So after Kraid, I went and got Ice Beam early. I got High Jump, straight to Speed Booster and Wave Beam. And then I went up to Fentune, I think, who was a pretty easy boss when I had all of the energy tanks and the Varysuit and whatever. And onwards, I didn't really have a problem until in Meridia, because I actually forgot about a couple of bomb blocks. So I was actually stuck for like a little bit and I had to go to YouTube just to see where I was supposed to go. But after that, it was like smooth sailing and I fell in love. I knew a lot about the game already, but to experience it by myself firsthand, its atmosphere, its music, and its gameplay felt amazing. And I play it quite often, even today.
This is making me want to go back and replay Super Metroid now.
Same.
You should. I love doing that.
I agree.
I've been talking with Deadweight about doing a stream on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Later in the month.
Ooh.
So we'll have to figure out when to do that and maybe test a stream. But I'd like to do that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I remember getting to learn all about the Crystal Flash when I was streaming because I was like dying and people were like, do the Crystal Flash. I'm like, what the heck is that? And so everybody's like having to talk me through it.
Yeah, it's there's no tutorial for it at all. It's just a cool thing that you can do. Someone might do it accidentally just out of desperation. And they've never brought it back in a subsequent Metroid game. Mm-hmm. They need to bring it back for Metroid 6.
The only way people could know about the Crystal Flash is due to, like, not the video files, but the gameplay segments that the title screen plays, in which one of the clips, Samus does the Crystal Flash. But the way to do a Crystal Flash is really confusing, honestly. You have to have, like, 10 of missiles and super missiles and 11 of power bombs. And then you have to have, like, 50 or under HP. Without any reserve tanks, and only then can you activate Crystal Flash if you hold LR down and the shoot button while the power bomb explodes? I think that's basically how it works, but it's really convoluted. I'm not surprised that basically no one knew how to do it. It's just available on like one clip in the title screen, and that's it.
Yeah, I think the instructions on how to do it was like in Nintendo Power, but that was, you know, if you subscribe to the magazine, and that was in the pre-internet days.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So you either had to know somebody who knew how to do that already, or you had to have read that in Nintendo Power, and whoever read it ended up telling their friends who told their friends.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And now there are online Nintendo Power archives.
You know, I got one of my letters to Nintendo Power published in Nintendo Power one time. I was so proud of that.
Awesome. There was some kid who did a cosplay of Samus's armor in Nintendo Power.
Ooh.
I'd love to find out what he's up to these days.
Well, we already talked about the Crystal Flash as one of the secrets in the game, but there are a whole lot of others. So let's go over some of the really cool things in Super Metroid that a lot of people might not know about, especially if you've never played it before. Torvis, I feel like you're going to be the expert on this, being a speedrunner and all that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's the case. There's a lot of things that a lot of people talk about, like the Samus-colored gamer right outside the wrecked ship, and how you like might find the Dakoras and the Etikuns and Brinstar. But there's like a lot of other subtleties in the game. As a speedrunner, I mostly note like gameplay subtleties, how Samus acts in certain ways. But one of my favorite secrets might be the beam combos.
Love those.
Yeah, because they really make the combat much more dynamic and allows you to like preemptively plan out attacks on certain bosses, for example. And it's an inclusion that I hope we see in future titles, because it allows you to proactively plan your attacks as if it was like a chess strategy, for example, like the, let's say, the Torvis opening or something like that. It's like, it's an attack that I just really like overall. A big fan of it.
I like how anytime I mention like playing Metroid, playing Super Metroid, and inevitably somebody always asks me, all right, question, save the animals or don't save the animals? I'm like, of course you want to save the animals. I will say when I played it, I did not save them because I did not know that was a thing. But all future playthroughs will include saving the animals. I even have a t-shirt that has like Samus with the Dakoras and Etikuns.
See, that's okay because you didn't know. Anybody who deliberately chooses to sacrifice the animals is a monster, and they also don't adhere to canon because they show up in Fusion whether you save them or not. And then they disappear, which, you know, I said on a previous episode that I was worried about where the Dakoras and Etikuns were in the lead-up to Dread, and then they weren't in the game.
That's messed up. That's properly messed up.
Yes. Where are they? We need to know.
Like, I genuinely really wanted to know how they were in Dread. Just like a confirmation, like, oh, they're in, like, Galactic Federation Base 3P or something, and they're doing all right.
Wait, so since Samus is friends with the animals, does that make her, like, the Snow White of Zebes?
She's the Snow White of Zebes, yeah.
Oh my god. Put her in the dress and have her sing to the birds and animals in the forest.
Oh my gosh, I need this as a cosplay. I need a Disney Princess Samus cosplay. I think that would be freaking adorable. I could turn like her outfit, could do either Zero Suit or like the Varia Suit, either one. Make that a big poofy ball gown. It would be so cute. And then I could have like little stuffed Dakoras and like stuffed little Etikun.
Yeah. One of my favorite bits of trivia about Super Metroid is when the Evers show up before Dragon does, they do this little dance. There was an interview with one of the sprite artists several years ago, Yasuhiko Fuji, who said that he programmed a little message to his girlfriend at the time. So the Evers, when they're dancing, they're forming the English letters for Kiko Love. Kiko was his girlfriend's name.
Aww.
So that was a nice little tribute to her. And it wasn't in the design documents at all. He added it in secret and only revealed it after the statute of limitations, i.e. his NDA, had expired. So that was a cute bit of trivia. Something that I learned at the end of last year, because I had the good fortune of being able to interview the director of the live-action commercial, Yasuo Kanemaki. He told me that a fire broke out on set. Obviously, they have the explosion, because it's depicting Ridley's attack on Ceres. Ridley was made of plywood, and that caught fire from the pyrotechnics. That's quite a bit of cool but scary trivia, but luckily, it was put out very quickly, and it sounds like nobody was hurt.
Yeah, if nobody was hurt, then it's cool.
Yes.
Not only do we have Meta Ridley, but we also have Plywood Ridley. That's awesome.
Oh my god. Yeah, Ridley is probably the biggest narcissist of all, because he has all these different forms. He has a robot made up of himself, his image plastered all over the pirate homeworld, fans clamoring for him to appear in Smash, which we eventually got, and he has a plywood replica of himself.
I think he's just a narcissist.
He is.
I think Ridley is just really full of himself, having all of these depictions of himself. Wouldn't surprise me if he's the one that started the Ridley in Smash petition, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
Movement. The Ridley in Smash movement. There we go.
I main Ridley in Smash, by the way. I fucking love that guy.
Awesome.
He's so fun.
Yeah. I lost my voice from screaming when they first revealed Ridley.
Oh, God.
Darren called me right after, and I remember, that did not just happen!
It was so awesome.
Yeah. Slowly, we've been getting everything we've ever asked for.
Yeah.
Prime Remaster, Dread, Metroid 2 Remake, Prime 4 eventually, Ridley and Smash, and Dark Samus. We've been getting everything.
Keep it going.
Yeah, keep it going, Nintendo.
What other requests can we make, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny you were mentioning, like, Dragon. I remember when I fought her the first time and then realized she was a mom. Everybody in chat was like, wow, Amanda, you killed their mom. You're a monster. And then I felt really bad.
You're supposed to save the animals. Come on.
Yeah.
I felt really bad for killing the mom. I was like, oh, she has babies, though. And now the babies are sad.
What's worse is when she dies and she falls to the floor and the children surround her corpse and I guess they bury it or they take it away with them.
That part killed me. Oh. I was just going, oh my gosh. And it,
Dragon actually has a specific sprite when she's dying, like her stomach gets torn. So just want you guys to know that.
Oh my god.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Those poor babies had to watch their mom's stomach get torn.
Yeah. It's awful.
Maybe they just ate the mom and maybe they just didn't care.
Yeah, actually, what if they're just space pirates and they don't have any emotions and stuff? Let's just go on with that.
It's like Bambi's mother all over again.
Oh my god. One fun little fact about the dragon fight is that the turrets are actually tied to the AI of Dragon. And I find that kind of neat. It's like, oh shit, she is using the turrets actually. It feels like the fact that in-game lighting uses real-world electricity in a way.
Yeah.
It feels kind of fun. I think that's the case for Emmy as well, actually. When you're fighting the central units, the turrets are used by the Emmy, it seems like. Because there's a point in the first central unit fight in which you can skip seeing the Emmy. And if you do that, then the turret doesn't activate. And a lot of people have seen that the turrets will light up in the respective colors of the Emmy. So I suspect that's the case for the central unit fights as well.
Hmm. That's very interesting. I did notice the color, but I never thought that maybe the Emmy was controlling the turrets.
Could be. It's just speculation, but it could be.
All right, well, now it's time to move into the mailbag. We asked you guys, who would you cast as Samus in a Metroid movie? And here is what you said. Chipset says, I think Ruby Rose from John Wick, Brie Larson, because she's expressed interest from the role, or maybe Charlize Theron, these women are known for their action flicks, plus fit the description, in my opinion. Wrong. Let's see.
Well, you want the role of Samus for yourself.
Exactly. That's, therefore, wrong.
Everyone's wrong, then.
Well, yeah.
You're the only correct person.
Exactly. Nick Two Fish says my top three choices would be Haley Atwell, Daisy Ridley, or Karen Gillan. Wrong. Gareth Dragon, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's long, but does mention Gal Gadot, and that is the one person I can get behind. I could get behind her as Samus. She could do it. Ron Levi says Scarlett Johansson. Of course, why not? She's in everything else, right?
Yeah.
Alexander Armont says, for VA, I would trust one who's willing to do the Chozo language as an extra. For live action, oh, VA, voice acting. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, for live action, very few match the canon height. Elizabeth Debicki would be an easy match. You know what? That's what heels are for, so you don't really have to be that tall.
They could just hire really short actors, but have Samus be like relatively big compared to them,
I guess.
Yeah.
Or they do an Other M movie because she's the shortest character in that game outside of her power suit.
Yeah, true.
And before the entire Metroid community calls for me to be deposed from my position at Shine Sparkers.
I'll sign them off for you.
Thank you.
No problem. Well, my personal choice for Samus is myself. That's who I want to play Samus. End of story. I want to be Samus. Yeah.
Simple. Okay. Simple enough.
I've got the blonde hair, and I do kung fu, so I think it's doable.
And you have cosplayed her before.
I have, exactly.
Torvis, do you want to give your choices?
Amanda, I guess. Yeah, Amanda. I think, okay. I think you would do great.
Thank you.
But the first person I thought of upon hearing the question is actually Jennifer Lawrence. I saw, I think, two of the Hunger Games movies, and she felt like she would fit the role, at least.
I mean, she's super talented, so she could see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She plays trauma very well. Mm-hmm. So if we were going to explore Samus's trauma as a result
of... She's got a whole lot of it.
Oh, yes. She could do a really kick-ass job with that.
I'd be fine with Brie Larson as well, but I haven't actually watched a lot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so I'm not sure how well she would be, but I've heard that she has cosplayed as Samus and likes the character.
Yes.
Well, my issue with her being Samus is she's already in a major franchise. She doesn't get to be in another one. Like, the fact that there are people that are all in, like, all the big ones, mm-hmm. totally not fair when I'm not in any of them.
Yeah, true, yeah. I guess so.
You're already in one. You have your one. You don't get this one, too.
After all, Amanda, I think it would also be cool to have, like, an unknown actress playing Samus. Like, a lot of the big names would be really cool, of course, but getting to learn somebody new would just be really cool.
I love it when they cast somebody, like, unknown for a role. And I did just get new headshots done yesterday, so, you know.
Well, I have three choices of my own. If not Amanda, then I would be supportive of any of these three actresses playing. I would be for Brie Larson playing Samus. In the past, we've done some news posts on her wanting to play Samus, and the reaction has been varied. She can be a bit polarizing for reasons, but I don't buy into any of that. I have seen her work in the MCU. I think she could definitely make a good Samus. Her portrayal of Carol Danvers is like, first she's conflicted, not knowing where she is, maybe a little standoffish, but also willing to defend herself and anyone she aligns with. By the time of the Marvels, Captain Marvel 2, she's a lot more warm and she has a bit of fun. And I've also seen her other roles in stuff like Lessons in Chemistry, and she's a powerhouse in that. And in Room, which she won an award for.
I remember it being in a Disney Channel movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't she did like the race car movie.
I think so. She had a pop music career for a little bit, but I don't think it really took off. And so she pivoted to acting, and she's also done a bit of filmmaking as well. She directed a movie for Netflix called Unicorn Store. My second choice would be Yvonne Strahovski, who you might know as Miranda Lawson in Mass Effect, or on TV, she was in Chuck, Dexter, and The Handmaid's Tale. I know her from Dexter. Again, another powerhouse actress capable of dramatic and also whimsical roles. Someone actually took footage from Other M and they set it to some of Miranda Lawson's voiceover. I'll share a link on the site and in the YouTube description to that video if it's still up. But it's really cool, and it kind of, for people who didn't like how Samus was portrayed in Other M, this might be a better depiction. My last choice, she's not necessarily an unknown, but she had a really big role, and then after that, it's kind of been hit or miss. Naomi Scott.
Oh, okay, yes. She would be really good. I like her a lot.
Yeah, if you watched the live-action Aladdin, she played Jasmine. She actually has a sort of connection to Metroid already, because you know who her Spanish dubbing artist was for Aladdin? Nikki Garcia.
Damn. Oh, cool.
The voice of Samus, the voice of the Chozo line. But yeah, she already has a semi-connection to Metroid that way.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So if they wanted to cast someone unknown, Naomi Scott could be a good choice. She'd have to dye her hair blonde, but that's fine.
I dye my hair blonde, so, yeah. You know, this isn't real. Okay, well, everybody, thank you so much for your answers there and for submitting. So our mailbag question for next time is, what do you hope to see in a remaster of Metroid Prime 2? Well, everyone, thank you so very much for joining us today. And of course, Roy and Torvis, I'm so glad you guys were here and getting to all of us talk together about some Super Metroid and the anniversary. I cannot believe it's 30. I feel old, but you know what? Who cares? Once again, thank you for joining. We'll see you next mission.
See you next mission.
See you next mission.
And he knows all the ins and outs of Metroid.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Torvis, this is where you say who you are.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so this episode, we are going to be discussing Metroid's 30th, or Super Metroid, sorry. I was like, I could have sworn Metroid itself was older than 30. Thought it was, like, closer to my age. All right. I thought it was really cool. I loved getting to see the music.
The Evers, that's what they're called, his or her children. I think Dragon's a woman, maybe, a mother. It's not clear. Anyway.
She has babies, so I'm going to say woman.
Yeah, probably. Sorry, Step. I don't know if I'm peaking the mic with my throat clearing.
I feel old, but you know what? Who cares?
I'll get you some prune juice.
Yeah. Honestly, prunes are really good. So I'm actually not a fan of prune juice, but prunes themselves are so freaking good. Like, one time I got a whole bag of them, and I'm just eating them. My mom comes out. She's like, are you eating prunes? I'm going, because they're good. They taste like candy.
The Shinesparkers podcast is edited by Stefan Wells with music from Maserati. If you enjoyed what you heard, we hope you'll consider following us on our social media pages. We're on Twitter, Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. For the latest Metroid news, interviews, community features, and other exclusive content, visit our website at shinesparkers.net. See you next mission.